Jesus. Thank you, Father God. He is worthy. He is worthy. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is moving. God is moving in this land. And I just want to try, well, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do what it needs to do, but I want to say this, that God doesn't want us to be walking around all depressed, all discouraged, all stressed out about what's going on in the world, what's going on in my neighborhood, what's going on in my bank account, and all these things. God knows what you need, okay? God knows where you're at, and God has a plan. Our job is to trust in Him and obey Him. Trust in Him and obey Him. Don't look at the wind and the waves. I'm not saying bury your head in the sand, but don't look at the wind and the waves and just be so discouraged or so stressed out. We serve a God that is in control, a God that is already victorious. Okay? Your job and my job is to obey the Most High God. Obey Him. Obey Him. Try and live by the good book. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen to the Holy Spirit. When the newsman's saying this, don't let that pull you down. He's probably lying to you anyways. You know what I mean? Chances are a cat's probably lying to you anyway. That's just the world we live in right now. Okay? That's just our world. I'm not going to get political or anything like that, but we live in a messed up world. But you know what? God has secured the victory. Okay? We are victorious. We are more than overcomers. So we need to start living like it and stop being so just, and I'm talking to myself as well, you know, just stressed out because of all the things that we're seeing. You know, God knew this was going to happen and God is in control. Begin to say that to yourself. God is in control. Say it. And we all Christians say, Christians say that all the time, but let it get in your heart. You know, God is in control, man. He knows everything that's going on. He knows what my tomorrow holds, and He's going to be right there with me. He knows what my tomorrow holds, and He's going to be right there with me. All right? So we need to start walking like we're victorious. Can I get a witness? And God wants to bring healing into our lives and into our homes. And He wants us to start living like we're victorious. You know, we walk around our weak hand. We have the potential to walk around so defeated because something happened to us or somebody left us. And I'm not saying these aren't real heavy things, man, but God has joy. And believe me, I'm not downplaying anything that you might be going through, but I'm saying God has joy for us. Don't get me wrong. There's a time to mourn. There's certainly a time for that. But God wants us to have joy, and He paid for us to have joy, and I want us to receive that joy. Does that make sense this morning? Thank you, Father God. Let's read John 8 and verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We praise You. Your will be done in this service. Thank You that this isn't the Paul Rott show, that this isn't anybody's show, but Your show, Lord. Thank You, Father God, for Your anointing and Your will being done. And what needs to be said will be said, and we will receive it and we will walk in it. And we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. Amen. So our text, we've took a couple of weeks off, but we've been talking about these I am statements of Jesus Christ, the seven I am statements that John locates for us in his gospel. Okay, we're talking about this one today. I am the light. I am the light of the world. Okay, so let's read this verse again, John 8 and verse 12. And may the Lord bless us. Lend me Your ears and let the Holy Spirit feed us. Can I get a witness? Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus is teaching in the temple. Now, what's going on is this is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a huge festival that's going on in Jerusalem, Jerusalem is overflowing with pilgrims, people coming to worship, people coming to celebrate. And as Jesus is teaching, he's teaching in the temple court, in the temple grounds, the religious leaders come up and beyond rudely interrupt his teaching, bring this woman and lay her at his feet, this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. There wasn't no maybe about it. It's pretty much confirmed this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus is teaching. Here come the religious leaders, not because they care about this woman, not because they really want to see justice, but they're trying to trap Jesus Christ. They're looking for a way to arrest him. And ultimately, they're looking for a way to get rid of him, whatever that looks like. If we got to kill him, let's kill him. They don't care. They want him gone. He's messing up their program. Okay, so Jesus is interrupted. They set this trap for Jesus. Jesus avoids the trap perfectly, and he ministers grace and mercy to this woman that's caught in the act of adultery. Now, he begins to teach again. One by one, the religious leaders walk off. He has his audience back again. So he begins to teach again. That's why we see John 8 and verse 12 at the very beginning. It says, and Jesus spoke to them again. Again, Jesus spoke to them. He got interrupted. No one likes to be interrupted, but this is what happened. So here he goes. He's been interrupted. He's got this crowd. Now let's move forward. And then the I am statement comes. And I love this study that I've been doing. I love these I am statements, and I've known about them for years, and I've dug into it a little bit. But the more you get into this stuff, it's just amazing. It is amazing what Jesus Christ is proclaiming as he says each and every one of these statements. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. These each and every one of these things have a meaning. But let's look at the I am in the I am statement. Everybody knows. Well, let me read this verse. We got Exodus 3 and verse 14. These seven I am statements is not the first time we see I am in Scripture. Does that make sense to everybody? Way back in Exodus, when Moses was in the wilderness, he sees this burning bush. He goes to check out the burning bush, and God begins to speak to him through this burning bush. And see, Moses was 80 years old when he sees this burning bush. And God says to him, Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt. I need you to talk to Pharaoh. I'm going to use you to set the Jewish people free. And Moses goes back and forth with God. Why, that's not a good idea. I don't talk good and this and that. We all certainly know how we can make excuses to do what we're supposed to do. But Moses says, okay, who am I going to say sent me? Who am I going to tell the Israelite people who sent me? Who am I going to tell Pharaoh who sent me? And so Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said to Moses, and church folk, that's what we need to listen to. Not the wind and the waves, not all these things that the media throws at you, not all this negativity is what I'm trying to talk about. But look at Exodus 3 and verse 14. What does it start out with? God said to Moses. God said to Sister Claudia, God said to Sister Brenda, God said to Sister Gina. That's what's important, what God tells us. Amen. That's the real deal. That's what we need to hang on to. And look at John 8 and 12 right here on the monitor. And again, Jesus spoke to them. That's what's important in your world. What Jesus says, what the Most High God says, that's what we hold close to our heart. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise, seriously. Thank you, Jesus. So God talking to Moses says, just say this, Moses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So the Most High God is the great I am. And so when Jesus makes these I am statements, what is he saying? He's saying, I am God. I'm God. I'm the one that you've been looking for. I'm the one that was promised to you. And it's going over most of their heads. Most people aren't going to accept it. But he's still making these bold statements, these life-changing statements. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, I am the light of the world. So he says, I'm the light of the world. And remember, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's no coincidence that Jesus says, as he's teaching, I'm the light of the world. Because this Feast of Tabernacles, it's a harvest celebration, but it's also a remembrance of God's provision through the wilderness. As the Israelite people made this 40-year journey through the wilderness, there was a pillar of fire that guided them by night and a cloud by day. Okay, so when he says, I'm the light of the world, during this feast or this celebration, one of the things they would do is they would light these mammoth, huge candles that would light up the whole area. This was a big thing. This was what the celebration that was going on. So the hearers of this, the people that were receiving this message, that heard this message, they would know what he's referencing. Because the big celebration was God's provision, God's protection, God's guidance. And Jesus says, just like God was the light to our ancestors throughout the ages and throughout the wilderness, I am that light right here before your presence. I am the light of the world. And just like Jesus is saying that to that crowd that day, he's saying that to me and you. He is the light of the world. He is what we truly need. He is the only thing that can truly satisfy. He is the only thing that we truly need. Can I get a witness? Is that true? He is the great I am. He says I am, and he is I am. He is everything you need. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. From the burning bush to the pillar of fire, throughout the Old Testament, throughout Scripture, light represents God's presence. Jesus is saying, God is here. God is in your midst. I'm the one that you've hungered for all these years. I'm not your genie in the bottle. I'm not here to jump through your hoops, but I am the Son of the Most High God. I am the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Look at what the prophet said in Isaiah 60 and verse 19, talking about God's reign. This is super cool. The Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. It is beyond me about how people can read Scripture and not see how wonderful and special and living this book is. How everything, all the Old Testament prophecies, all converge and come together so beautifully and impossibly. Here's a prophecy about God's reign in Isaiah 60 and verse 19. Check this out. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall be the moon give you the light. But the Lord, listen, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. That's a prophecy. And it's like Jesus is saying, well, he is totally saying, I am he. I am the light of the world. And look at 1 John 1 in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him. Heard from who? Now, remember, John, the writer of this gospel, the writer of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, writer of Revelation, he wasn't just doing research, trying to find out about the Messiah. He lived with the Messiah. He lived with Jesus Christ for 3 years. He touched him. He walked with him. He knew exactly what his voice sounded like. He knew what kind of food he liked. He knew what he got to hang around the camp. What an amazing thing to imagine to be able to sit around a campfire with the creator of heaven and earth, to be able to sit there at the feet of Jesus Christ. So John knew the man. He knew him very intimately. And so in 1 John, he says this, this is the message we have heard from him. This is the message we heard from God. This is the message we heard from Jesus Christ. And I want to give it to you. I want to pass it on to you. Okay. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. A lot of light talking today, right? It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. Just like that pillar of fire in the wilderness represents God's presence, is God's presence. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. That is a picture of me. Okay. And proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness. Speaks of God's purity, no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is pure beyond pure. Jesus Christ is the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Jesus Christ is that perfect lamb without spot or blemish. He is our light. Can I get a witness? God is so good. Amen. Now let's look at John 3 and verse 19. And this is the judgment, or this is the verdict. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Well, who's that? Who's he talking about there? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The light has come into the world, and people, oh man. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. So here's Jesus making this bold and amazing proclamation. And I honestly don't think that many folks rejected Jesus Christ because they didn't understand the message. I don't think, what I'm trying to say is the gospel isn't hard to understand. The gospel is not hard to understand. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He's the Son of God, born of a virgin, died on a cross and rose from the dead, paid for my sins to be forgiven. I have to ask him to forgive me and be my Lord and Savior, repent of my sins. That's not really complicated stuff. Amen? But I think it's more like this, and it certainly was, you know, in my youth, I understood the gospel. I understood it. I knew it was real. In my heart, I knew it was real. But I didn't want to change. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So, and this is the judgment, or this is the verdict. The light has come into the world. Jesus Christ at that perfect time came into the world. This is the light that came into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Sometimes we just love the darkness more than we want the truth of Jesus Christ. We want to do what we want to do. Well, let's make sure that that's not going to happen in our lives anymore. Can I get a witness? We got to want it. Here's the light, but you got to want the light. You got to want Jesus. He's not going to slam you on the ground and say, okay, now it's time to serve me. That's true. That is true. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Jesus, when I go before the Lord, when I spend time with Jesus, you know what he does? He exposes the darkness in my life. He exposes the things in my life that aren't pleasing to him. So sometimes, when we want to be naughty, we won't go and spend time with the Lord, or we'll kind of cherry pick what we want to read or whatever. But God is calling each and every one of us. Look, man, I got to be your shepherd. I got to be the one in control, right? He wants to be the boss. He doesn't just want to be our Lord. Well, no, I said that backwards. He doesn't just want to be our Savior. He wants to be our Lord and Savior, right? Let's go to the next slide. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. We are surrounded by darkness in this world. I mean, there is just so much lies, so much propaganda. Just, we really need the Holy Spirit. We really need the light for discernment. We need this. And he says, I'm the light. Follow me. If you follow me, you're going to stay on the right path. If you follow me, you're going to be all right. Yeah, it might look a little scary, right? It might look a little, but hey, I'm with you. The Most High God is with you. Amen. In other words, you ain't got nothing to worry about. At the end of the day, the victory is His. At the end of the day, we are victorious. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. This is one of my favorite verses. You guys remember, like, okay, if you're from here, if you've been around here, you've probably been through a couple hurricanes, and you know what it's like when there's no power, you know? You automatically remember how it was the day before when there was all the porch lights and the street lights and all these things. And you're like, oh my gosh, it is so dark. It's so completely dark. But what is beautiful is you can finally see the stars. You know, that's another story. But it's so stinking dark. And we're so used to walking into a room, flipping a switch, and boom, there's light. You know, in this day and age, you had to work hard to have light. You had to have your lamp ready. You had to have your candle ready. It wasn't just flipping a switch. Light was kind of red, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's like when he says, I'm the bread of life. Hey, that meant something to those people. That meant something. Okay, they didn't go around eating as much as they wanted all day long every day. That's not how their world was. Okay, and light was very precious. And during this celebration, a huge thing, they would light these massive candles. And people would run around with torches and celebrate. And in the middle of this celebration, Jesus says, I'm the light of it. All this is about me. And it was up to them whether or not they wanted to accept it, just like me and you. And we know he's the light. We know he's the light. And chances are he's probably our savior. But are we letting him guide us? Are we being obedient to him? That's the mode that I've been in, man, I don't want to waste any time. I don't want to waste any time, and I want to be what God's called me to be. I want to be obedient to him. And so every day, I have to remind myself, it's not about Paul. It's not about Paul, okay? I'm a servant of the Most High God, meaning he's the boss, right? So I got to be obedient to him and do what he tells me to do. Well, how in the world are we going to know what in the world to do? Well, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, and you need to listen to that Holy Spirit. So I don't ever hear the Holy Spirit. Shut up for a second. Seriously, listen to the Holy Spirit. I hear him all the time. You know what he says? He says, Paul, don't do that. Paul, don't do that. Paul, just don't do it. Paul, I want you to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. No, I think I got this one. I got this one, God. That's big trouble, right? You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him be the light, the guide us. So Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember those days after those hurricanes when you couldn't see anything, or you're out there in the woods or something and it's just pitch dark, pitch black. You got that old flashlight, you turn it on, poof, you can see safely where you're going, man. You know what I mean? Imagine in Bible days when you're walking around in the wilderness where there's robbers and all kinds of wild beasts and all that, and you happen to be out at nighttime, and you have a little lamp, and you turn on, you light the lamp, and you can see a few steps in front of you. So you take a few steps in the right direction, and now you can see a few more steps in front of you, and you take a few steps in that direction, and you can see a few steps in front of you. That's what God wants to do. He says, don't get all caught up about, don't be all fearful and stressed out about what's way down the road. Take it one day at a time. One day at a time, okay? Don't let what might happen tomorrow destroy your productivity for today, but take it one day at a time and let me be the light through each and every day. Let me be that light. Let me guide you and lead you. There's all this darkness, all this wickedness around you, and that light If we get involved in that light, it'll expose what is dark in me, what has no business, what there's no, calm down. These things in my life that are not productive to my relationship with God. Attitudes, behaviors, thoughts, stuff like that, whatever. You get involved with Jesus Christ, he will begin to show you things. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we just back away because we like doing things we shouldn't do or thinking things we should do. And there's that conviction. Like these religious leaders, these Pharisees, you know they had to be feeling the conviction that they were being convicted when Jesus Christ was writing in the sand about this woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus is writing in the sand, and one by one, he says, hey, if you haven't sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone. If you are sinless, go ahead and grab a stone and take care of this man. Do it. You know that was convicting. But we don't know how many of their lives changed. We don't know how many of them let that conviction turn to bitterness, turn to hatred. Oh, he's really got to go now. He made me look stupid. I worked so hard trying to find that woman caught in it. You know how hard it is to find a woman actually caught in the act of adultery? I had people all over town looking through these windows. And here we go. We get this woman, parade her through the streets, throw her down there at Jesus' feet. And man, he made me look stupid. I'm a preacher. I'm a religious teacher. He made me look dumb. But you know, man, they had a chance to repent. That light was shining, man. But some people love like the darkness so much. And that can't be us. Can I get a witness? Hear the Lord some praise. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm telling you, God's word will tell you how to live your life. God's word will tell you what we need to do. Amen? Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we got to follow Jesus. And it says, but you will have the light of life. So what is this light of life? What is this? It's a couple things, really. You know, it's not just one thing, but it says, follow me. Because I'm the light of the world, all right? I'm not one of many lights of the world. I am the light of the world. Anything else is going to lead you in the wrong direction. It's going to be a dead end. It's going to lead you to eternal damnation. That's how these things work. All these faith religions, false prophets and all that, man, all this stuff, it's leading you to eternal damnation. That's the ultimate goal, is to get you to follow a bunch of rubbish, maybe kill some people on the way out, do something crazy, nut job. Depends on what kind of crazy religion you're into, but the result is to get you in hell. That's what Satan wants. He can't mess with God. He can't mess with Jesus. The only thing he can do is try and mess with the most precious thing in the Lord's life, and that's you and me. You know what I mean? But this light of life, if we follow him, but you will have the light of life. Well, one of the ways we can look at this, you have the light of life. You have eternal life. How about them apples? If you follow the light of the world, you will inherit eternal life. It's not about jumping through any hoops. It's about accepting what the light has already done for you, accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, and you have eternal life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, I love these verses. It's simply wonderful. Okay, so let me say it like this. One of the greatest things in the world, as you get older and you see loved ones making that journey all the time to the other side, people are passing away every single day. We know that. But one of the biggest blessings is to not have fear of death, you know? Because I know plenty of people that haven't made that commitment. I know plenty of people that haven't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there's a certain fear. Even with the young people, when they begin to think about that and the things that are going on in the world and all this, there's a fear, there's an anxiety. What if this happens? What is on the other side? Well, I can actually help you out with that. But see, as a Christian, there's no sting to death. I'm not saying there's not any pain. There might be a little pain there at the end or something. I'm not saying that. I'm saying death for the believer, it's got no grip on us. There's no fear. It doesn't have to be fearful. You know what I mean? Because we know where we're going. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You know, what a wonderful thing. Oh, death, where is your victory? Satan didn't win at that cross. Jesus Christ won at that cross. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I love that part. I love death, where is your sting? Oh, Jesus Christ paid for my salvation. Jesus Christ paid for my sins on the cross. So I don't have to fear death. I don't have to worry about it. And then look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. This is so good. But thanks be to God. This is why you can walk around in the victory, not worrying about death, not worrying about what tomorrow holds, because of the victory that's already been won through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It all hinges on Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And it's up to us if we want to follow that light. We all have that choice to make. You know what I mean? Look at John 3:16. You guys could quote it. We could all quote it. We could all Tim Tebow it. We all know this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I'm talking about eternal life. What a huge blessing. All we got to do is say, I need you. Can't do it on my own. I need you. There it is, just like that. You know what I mean? Like the sinners on the cross, or the thieves on the cross, or the murderers on the cross. They both? Let's look at the two. One absolutely says, I don't need you. One says, remember me when you get in your kingdom. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The guy didn't get baptized. He didn't do all these church things. But God looked at his heart. The Messiah looked at his heart. And he's like, you got it, man. You got it. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. That sinner on the cross who saw the light of the world, and he says, I got to have that. And we got to have that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's love right there. God is love. What does that look like? It looks like this. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die this horrible, humiliating, torturing death, so me and you could be forgiven, so me and you could enjoy our Lord and Creator and learn of him for all eternity. That's love right there. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We want that light of life. We want that eternal life. But it's not just eternal life. It's not just, like, that's not a big deal. Wait, there's more, right? There's nothing bigger than that. The price that was paid was so immense that you could never put a price tag on it. The most precious thing in all the universe was given so we could be forgiven. But there is more. He says, you know what? I am the light of life, and I want to guide you through this life here and now. I got need of you. I want to use you. So I want to shine through you. I want you, Christian person, I want you to be a light. I want you to be a light. So I want to guide you by my light, and I want to use you to be a blessing to other people. In this world that's falling apart, I want you to let your light shine. I want people to see how you're calm, cool, and collective when tragedy upon travesty upon tragedy unfolds before your very eyes. And you're like, all is well. What do you mean all is well? God's in control. What do you mean God's in control? I mean, God's in control, man. And I belong to him, so I'm not going to sweat it. Well, you're just burying your head in the sky. I'm not either. I'm not going to live in fear because I've already got the victory. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No, I do not. Paul Rott does not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but my dad does. The Most High God does. The light of the world does, and he is going to guide me each and every day. I'm going to take it one day at a time because tomorrow is going to have its own rubbish. I'm going to take it one day at a time, and God's going to get me through each and every day because he is my guiding light. Give the Lord some praise. John 1, 4, and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Satan didn't win, has not overcome it. Satan can do all, he can pull out all the stops, and he's doing everything he can do. But he knows his time is short, and he knows he is defeated. But he ain't slacking up. He ain't letting up. You know, he still wants to cause as much damage as possible. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to take your witness and destroy it. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you. He's not getting your salvation. He's not getting that. So he wants to make you a very miserable, compromised Christian. He wants to make you where you are so just messed up that you're no good. Now we know that's not going to happen. Can I get a witness? We're not going to give in to that nonsense. Why? Why, Paul? Because I'm going to follow the light. We're going to follow the light. Well, Paul, I messed up last week. I messed up this morning. Okay. Ask Jesus to forgive you and mean it and dust yourself off and get right back into the good book and follow that light. Follow that light, man. Don't be distracted. Don't take a step over here, but follow the light. Go where it leads you. That makes sense. Look at Psalm 16 and verse 11, and we're going to close with this. This is so pretty because this is what God wants to do for us. You know, so we can go chasing these rabbits and doing all this stuff, getting off the trail. That's not going to lead to nowhere good. Stay on the path. Stay on the path that's lit. Amen. You make known to me the path of life. Doesn't make known the path of life. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I'm going to take the good book and do what it says. Do you understand that? That we sometimes we kind of overcomplicate things, you know, when literally you're going to find yourself in God's will if you say, okay, this is what the good book says to do, and I'm going to do it. This is what the good book tells me not to do, so I'm not going to do it. If you do that, you're going to find yourself in God's will. These are the you ever seen them kids at the bowling alley, and they're like horrible, you know, or maybe they're little kids, and they put them things in the gutter so the ball can't go in the gutter or whatever? That's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know why, but I was just thinking about that. Anyway, let's just move forward. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. Man, how about that? In his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's where we're going to find that fulfillment in life. That's where we're truly going to be satisfied, is in him, with him, following him, being with him, because everything else is temporary at best. Everything else that the world offers will not satisfy. It's going to leave you unsatisfied. It's going to leave you hollow feeling, worse off than before. It will not satisfy. Amen. But you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, that is an awesome verse. That is an awesome verse. So God's got a good plan for you. God's got a good plan for his people. I don't see anywhere where he says it's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be super easy, but I can tell you this much, that we can take it each and every day and be obedient to God and get to where he wants us to be. And we don't have to live by fear. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to give into the temptations that we gave into yesterday. Or you don't understand what a strong, mighty grip this has on me. I kind of do. I mean, I know what that feels like. But I know God's word is true when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a true statement. That's just something that's, no, it's a true statement. If I want to say no to what I need to say no to, God's going to partner with me. God's going to partner with me, and he'll give me the strength. Amen. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. John 8 and verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's not walk in darkness. Let's not give in to any of that rubbish, fear, anxiety, depression, temptations, or for whatever. Let's just follow the light. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we love you. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for your strength in our lives. Thank you that we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we want to be obedient to your Holy Spirit, that we have a hunger to get into your word and obey your word. Let us be and do what you've called us to do. Thank you, Father God, for an end to these senseless, horrible wars. Thank you for your delivering power and your will being done in every area. Bless each and every member of this congregation. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.